Deuteronomy chapter 11. Okay, we got 128 through 30 here, so let's turn there. Let's start with verse 26, though, Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day blessing and curse. Now, what was being spoken here through the stewardship is also relevant for today. Blessing and cursing is before you. Those which are on Mount Ebal, their repentance is not sealed until they come over to the Mount of Blessing, Mount Gerizim. We'll talk about that in a moment here. Behold, I set before you this day, blessing and curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way. There's the word the way there, which is the prophetic path. Okay, which I, as a stewardship, command you this day not to go after other gods, which you have not known. That's the broad way. Okay, we're not following after the other gods or the philosophies of this world, that which seducing spirits work with. Seducing spirits work with their religious aspiration, okay, whereas the angel of the Lord work with faith. Okay, and the angel of the Lord assists you. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, that has to do with the spirit of the Lord is upon you, or the hand of the Lord is upon you, the spirit of the Lord is upon you. Okay, those terms are used alternatively, showing that you're wearing the crown of God upon you. Okay, the crown, of course, is on the head. Okay, when the crown is upon the head, the anointing is on you. When the anointing is upon you, you have the perspective of God. Okay, so the perspective of God is in that which is the blessing, which has to do with the increase, the blessedness. Okay, the blessedness bears the gifts as Abraham, okay, bore the gifts. Now, the people that bear the gifts also have the promises sealed to them. This is what God said, as the stars of heaven. So a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known. Verse 29. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord your God has brought you in unto the land where you go to possess it, that you should put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim. Okay, and the reason why it's upon Mount Gerizim, the blessing which has to do with that which flows with milk and honey. And the curse upon Mount Ebal, which has to do with the floods, with mudslides and hornets. That's the curse, mudslides and hornets, as an example. So I can highlight the word Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Okay, there in Deuteronomy. Now, this was the instruction which God gave to Joshua, but Moses didn't cross the Jordan River. Joshua, whose also name was known as Jesus, he is the one that went over the Jordan, okay, over Jordan River. And this is what Jesus did with John the Baptist. When Jesus went into the river, came on one side and left on the other side. Jesus passed over the water. Okay, he passed through the river by his baptism. When he passed the other side, then he went to the wilderness to face the challenges to provide us the record in himself concerning suffering and glory. Okay, suffering and glory, or grace and suffering. Okay, are they not on the other side? Which will, in verse 30 here, are they not under the other side? Okay, Jordan, by the way, where the sun goes down. I thought it was interesting where the sun goes down, which means this is a time when, this is the point of time where time comes to its end. When the sun goes down, that's the end of time. Okay, by the way, where the sun goes down in the land of Canaanites, okay, which dwell in the Champagne, or the lower level and open country, okay, over against Gilgal, besides the plains of Morah. Okay, now having read that, now let's go to Joshua here, and Joshua chapter 8, and we're going to see some interesting things take place. Now remember, Moses didn't pass over Jordan River. Okay, Moses represented the law. In other words, those that wish to know the Lord, they have to pass through the river. And so people were water baptized to show this connection and transition which should take place. The transition took place in Joshua or Jesus. And when Joshua passed over the river, it was through on dry ground. But when Jesus passed through, it was by John's baptism. John's baptism showed the transition between both covenants. Okay, the covenant of Moses was now coming to its conclusion, okay, and a transition was taking place through Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Moses' record was now coming to an end, and this washing, okay, was preparing Jesus for a new priesthood. This washing was preparing Jesus for a new priesthood, and John the Baptist was confirming this bridge, and that's why Jesus says there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was the point of transition of covenants. Now you're pointing transition between covenants, but also living at the time of this transition and pointing to the new one, Jesus or Joshua, which is going to lead the people. Okay, Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness, as Moses was 40 years in the wilderness. Okay, the wilderness represented a place of challenge. As Israel was purged and challenged in the wilderness, Jesus also was in the wilderness to be challenged by the devil and overcame. Okay, through Moses' stewardship, Israel prevailed because he had his hands risen. And through Jesus' stewardship, we prevail because we followed that record with both hands. So that's what Paul talks about. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, and let that which is lame be turned out of the way. They say, that which is blemished, now put aside. Okay, so that we can walk uprightly as those that have risen from the dead. Okay, now in Joshua chapter 8, around verse 32, let's start with verse 30 though. Okay, they faced a great challenge after the challenge of Ai. God was now bringing them to another point. They went through different stages of this preparation. They learned what faith was on the other side of Jordan. Now, passing over Jordan, they came to Gilgal in the hill of foreskins. This is their second circumcision, which we all face a second circumcision. Okay, our first circumcision, where that was the flesh. Now our second circumcision is that of the spirit, and our circumcision is taking place right now within us, okay, to be completely removed, where death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. The presence of death is necessary for this present time, for the purpose of challenging us to continually choose life. Right, verse 30, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. Now, I thought that was interesting. Okay, this is the altar of repentance. The altar of repentance was that of the law. The law was that which convicted Adamites in regarding the state of the conscience. Because their conscience was defiled, okay, the law itself was a finger of accusation saying, you are not perfect before God. But only those that come unto the hill of blessing will receive the benefits. And so upon this, this was a point of division. A separation takes place, and you have to pass over to the other side in order for you to benefit. Okay, so one hill is the hill of cursing, the other hill is the hill of blessing. Okay, everyone comes first to the altar. Okay, the altar, which is the law. Okay, this is the realization. The enlightenment is on this hill. The enlightenment is upon the hill of Ebal. Okay, but the seal is upon the hill of Gerizim. And many of the people that have been enlightened by the Spirit of the Lord still remain on Mount Ebal repenting. The repentance has never passed on to the hill of blessing on Mount Gerizim. Okay, so they're still repenting on the hill by the law. Now, this is what happened. He built an altar and he plastered it over. So let's read this here. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, that's the record. Okay, the record of Moses was provided for their faith, but not for the perfection and the state of the conscience. Now, if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place had been sought for the second. That is the perfection of the conscience. Because the conscience is the gate or the door of the soul. As also Jesus called himself the door, and because he's the throne of God. Now, the throne of God is the vortex, the door, or the gate into the Father's bosom. Okay, all of us have to receive the spirit of adoption and circumcision to qualify us to enter through that door. And as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, okay, remember, he took that book of law and sprinkled it with blood in all the people. The reason why he sprinkled the book of law and the people, which meant this, by blood are you redeemed, and by disobedience it must be shed. So therefore, we see at the great tribulation, which is around the corner, the sun returned to sackcloth and the moon into blood, which means now God exacts a sacrifice from you. Now I offer my son in the shedding of blood for your redemption, which you have rejected. Okay, and in disfavor, the moon itself is turned to as dripping blood and testifies against your wickedness. Having no sacrifice, I will demand your blood to be shed. Okay, and we can see this throughout history concerning the two-edged sword. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, a altar of whole stones, okay, over which no man is lifting up an iron. And they offer thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrifices and peace offerings. Of course, being much different than that, than the inhabitants of Ai who fornicated. Because we were talking about the people of Ai, the king of Ai, they hanged on a tree. Okay? This was a testimony that the power of Satan will cease. So here they build an altar of whole stones, okay? And did not lift up an iron tool upon it. And he wrote there upon the stones, the steward recorded this on the stones, upon the stones here, a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel very plainly, that God rules this land. And this land and this people are under the name of his ownership. What it was is it was a landmark. And that's what it says. Cursed be the man that moves his neighbor's landmark. Okay, the false religious system is a curse because they have moved the Lord's landmark. They moved it from his propitiation, the hill of blessing, to the substitution, okay, which is the hill of the curse. Their enlightenment has now fallen into despair. Okay, so that which they have first received has never progressed beyond that to the hill of blessing. So they are called accursed of God, okay, as we see in the book of Peter. The Apostle Peter wrote the same thing, that these are cursed children. They have been enlightened by God, but never progressed beyond that. Okay, the hill of blessing progresses into the land to overcome. The hill of cursing remains there and never progresses. So they're always repenting and repenting again and repenting again because they're standing by the law. The law condemns them. And their profession of Jesus Christ is by the state of their conscience, which is defiled. Okay, so they're trying to offer God a philosophy of Jesus. Well, we offer God Christ himself. Okay, every gift of his propitiation is what we offer back to him as a direct reflection of himself. So he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel for the responsibility. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark. I thought that was interesting. The ark here, which is sanctified for their faith. And on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant Lord, as well as stranger, yea, all those which conversed with them. As he that was born among them, half them over against Mount Gerizim, half them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded. Okay, that they should bless the people of Israel. Okay, now on Mount Gerizim, okay, you have Judah and Levi, okay, which represented the priesthood and the stewardship. So those which are in covenant with God are on Mount Gerizim. You are on Mount Gerizim. But the false religious system remains on Mount Ebal. And each side shouted. So those which are on Mount Ebal professed their iniquities, but those on Mount Gerizim profess Christ's righteousness. We profess Christ's righteousness through the tokens we should provide for us. Now when we get to Colossians, we'll read more about that. Okay, afterward, he read all the words of the law and the stewardship. And we see the stewardship was reading and making and expounding or making the sense to the people. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. This is to teach the condition, the state of the conscience, the defiled conscience. Okay, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. Now you can understand Jesus' ministry. When Jesus cast out devils or healed the sick, he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Okay, Jesus fulfilled the law. Okay, he fulfilled the law and the prophets. That's why he directed the people to the temple. Because the first eighth week had not come into its lot yet. But he was providing the record for the first eighth week to be fulfilled, which began the day of Pentecost. Okay, Jesus was the bridge between the weeks. And he initiated that, which is of, he completed Moses. Okay, and he initiated that, which is the first eighth week by breathing on the apostles. Okay, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded with Joshua, which represented Jesus' ministry, read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers which were conversing among them. Okay, so we see Jew and Gentile were hearing these things, and they were responsible to reciprocate, which means to offer a sacrifice, okay, which was specified in this law. They were not allowed to offer sacrifices on any selected hill or eminent place, okay, which they thought would be sanctified for their sacrifice. They were not to select a place of pleasure, but a place of labor. A place of labor. Okay, now having read that, let's now go over to Colossians. Okay, now going to the book of Colossians, we're going to pick up where we left off here in verse 9. So I'm in Colossians chapter 1. Okay, we read about the oak tree and the teal tree. Okay, because the greater works, we're talking about the greater works here, the oak tree and the teal tree, whose seed is within them, which means it's concealed, but manifested at a particular time and appointed season. As also the children of God, the manifestation of the sons of God is now being revealed through this knowledge and be fully manifested during the millennial reign of Christ, as well as also in the position of a complete fullness of him during the baptism of light. So Jesus, we talked about some things last week, is concerning Jesus said, I am come to send fire in the earth, and what will I? It should be already kindled. And of course, he's speaking himself. The fire of the anointing is already taking hold of the hearts of the people. okay, as we see with the disciples that were following him. Okay, we also talked about the masculine, which is the witness of sanctification and your tether, and we also talked about the feminine being the record of holiness, which is our altar. Okay, that's why the church is called, the body of Christ is called the bride. Okay, it's called the bride because we reflect her. Okay, we reflect her. That's why we're called the bride. Okay, and we also wear the robes of her righteousness, because the righteousness of the saints is the light of the bride, as we've seen in the book of Revelation. Because of this reflection of faith, we are considered, you see, the feminine, because we reflect that. Now, when Jesus is on earth, he says, the Father is greater than I, to reflect this relationship of the masculine and the feminine. Okay, all the Father says, I speak, and all the Father has done, that's what I do. Okay, everything which was ascribed in my bosom before I came down here is now being fulfilled by that. Those things are speaking to you, and I'm providing a record for you, which I'm going to seal in my blood. Okay, so we see the masculine and the feminine, and why the Lord makes mention of these things, okay, in this level. So we see the Father being our origin as our Alpha, and Jesus, having now risen from the dead, physically risen from the dead, the Son, is the greater works as the Omega, and that's our destiny. We see this in how the Apostle Paul wrote this concerning Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, you can see that within the first few verses right here. We give thanks to God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. Okay, in Christ Jesus. So we see a sanctification, the feminine. The feminine receives the seed and bears for the masculine. So we see the feminine in your priesthood. Okay, that's the body of Christ. And of course, the Apostle Paul brings this out. Okay, and in the comparison of that relationship, near the conclusion of this epistle right here, he talks about wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Okay, husbands, love your wives. Okay, we see that in chapter 3 there. Now I'm going back to chapter 1. Let's read on a few things here as you get your sacrifices ready. Okay, we also talk about faith, hope, and charity. Okay, we see that in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid before you in heaven. Now the hope has to do with that, those things which God is initiating presently is our hope. That which God is initiating is our hope to bring us into the reality of the promise. It's the hope, the tokens to bring us into the reality of the promise. The promise is not that which we are presently experiencing, because the promise is that which is beyond the veil. Okay, but the hope is giving us tokens of this promise. Okay, tokens, which Paul brings out in Hebrews chapter 6, concerning the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Okay, the good word of God is that the knowledge that you have receiving is unlocking these mysteries for the purpose of the anointing. And anointing takes this knowledge. Okay, the logic of man, which is what the Bible calls the natural man, the carnal-minded thinker. The carnal-minded thinker, using his logic, cannot comprehend this. It's because they're on the wrong hill. If you're on Mount Ebal, okay, the interpretation of Scripture is a psychology because you're dealing with the law. But if you're Mount Gerizim, your perspective of the Scriptures, okay, is that which has to do with the anointing. Okay, it's the anointing that gives life. Okay, it's the anointing that gives life. That's your hope. Okay, so we see faith, hope, and charity in your priesthood. The faith is that which is reflective. The love is that which is expressive. And the hope is that which is continually being presented to you, the tokens of his propitiation. Okay, upon the visitations of the Lord. Okay, upon the visitations of the Lord, you receive gifts. And the more you embrace these things, the more you walk in your priesthood, the greater the visitations. Okay, it's the same thing of attendance to a garden. When we see that you're being successful, okay, and the growth of the garden, okay, you put more effort into it. But if you see that all your efforts are being thwarted or ruined, okay, you lose hope in that. Okay, you lose hope. See the word I use there, you lose hope. Okay, which means the tokens become less and less and less. Your application becomes less and less and less. It becomes dim. Okay, it becomes dim through frustration, disappointment. Okay, but the frustration, disappointment lies upon your irresponsibility. Okay, you want God to perform things for you, and yet, on the other hand, you're withholding from him. That is not a healthy relationship. If you withhold the power, okay, also you deny the blessing, the blessedness. Okay, if you withhold the power, you deny the blessedness. But if you express the power, the blessedness will be there. Another way to put this, if a wife asks her husband this question, do you love me? Okay, he will verbalize his love towards you. But if the wife says, will you love me? The verbalization now becomes an activity. Okay, and this is the same thing with our activity with God. If we say, Lord, will you love me? Then the expression will be in our faith. But if we said, Lord, do you love me? Then our expression is in word only. Okay, we're to love God not in word only, but also in deed. So if you use the power of your faith, then our Lord will love you. Okay, our Lord will love you, which means he will visit you. So the false religious system always challenges God on the basis of, do you love me, Lord? Okay, but those which are in covenant say, Lord, will you love me? Okay, so there's two different things there. One is word, the other one is deed. One is in word and one is in deed. But we know we don't love him just in word only, but also in word and in deed. Okay, we love him in both. Okay, as your expression of charity. So we do not withhold the power from God. To withhold the power is to deny the blessedness. To express the power is to embrace the blessedness. Okay, that's your hope. Okay, the hope of continued contact, which is laid up for you in heaven, which is in the throne, which is provided for you, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which you're presently receiving. Okay, the knowledge, okay, the truth now frames your activity for you. Okay, because it helps you to identify God's character, his purpose, his plan. Okay, that which he speaks, that which he does, and the product of it. That's your truth. Okay, so truth frames our understanding, doesn't it? The grace of God allows you to unlock these things, and the anointing brings it before your understanding. Okay, the anointing sets the order for it. Without the anointing, this knowledge will not gain entrance into the heart. And this is what Jesus told his apostles. Let these things sink in your ears. Which means open your ears, embrace this knowledge, exercise your faith, and you will see. Okay, and this is what Peter did. And we can see that when Peter made that acknowledgement, Jesus made the reciprocation. Okay, blessed are you, Peter. My Father has revealed this to you. Flesh and blood, not the logic of man, not the wisdom of the world. Okay, not the spirit of this world. It didn't reveal it to you. It wasn't because you read this someplace. Okay, it's because you experienced my power. Now remember, Pilate made the same reciprocation, which Jesus did not acknowledge. When Pilate made a statement, so then, are you a king? And what did Jesus say? Say, did you read this someplace? Okay, or did my Father reveal this to you? That's what Jesus was saying. Okay, did you read it someplace? Did somebody tell you this? Are you just repeating what somebody else says? Or is this a reciprocation? If this was the grace of God, okay, Jesus says, you are not far from his kingdom, see? If Pilate would have said, you are a king then, if he said that of faith, then Jesus would have reciprocated, you are blessed of God, Pilate, but he didn't say that. Okay, so we can see that Pilate was resourcing his logic. Okay, and his logic had to do with the word of the priest, the false priesthood, those which were accusing Jesus. His inquisition was based upon rumor. And of course, we see the same thing today. We see people are curious and inquiring, but based upon rumor. But when the grace of God is present in their heart, they don't need the witness of man because they're looking right at the witness of God right there. And they will embrace it. They will fully embrace it. And this is what Nathanael did. So you have the Nathanael believer and you have the Pilate believer. Okay, just like you have the Esau believer and you have the Jacob believer. Okay, the Nathanael believer reciprocated just on the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, for this, the angels will continually attend upon your understanding, and you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Okay, but he didn't say that to Pilate. Pilate just made, an assessment based upon his logic and also the rumor of other people. And out of his curiosity, like Herod. We have Herod believers out there. Herod believers who want to see a miracle. Okay, well, of all the miracles that Jesus did, why didn't Herod reciprocate at that time? It's because Herod was a man of the world. He was a religious person, but his whole perception had to do with trying to establish the throne of David. He wanted to establish the throne of David, but with the consent of the Romans. And of course, he was going about it politically as a Sadducee. Okay, the Sadducees were more of those which were politically focused on nationalistic themes, very, very zealous. Okay, and the same thing with the Pharisees, except the Pharisees were more, they weren't as politically minded. They were more on a different level of thinking, believing in the resurrection and the voice of God and God's involvement. Where the Sadducees, they believe in the existence of God, but God was not really involved. Okay, we see the same thing in the Pentecostal and the Baptists, or the Pentecostals and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, well, yeah, they believe in God, but they're more like the Sadducees. Okay, but not as direct involvement. Okay, everything is as in certain concepts. And they always have these challenging questions about the afterlife. But just because they ask questions about it doesn't mean that they're working with the anointing. It's the anointing that saves you, not the questions. Well, let's read on here. Which is coming to you as in all the world. We see that in verse 6. And brings forth fruit. You see what it does here? Your faith, hope, and charity are bringing forth fruit. Okay, that's because you're tasting the good word of God and the powers of the come. Okay, but it's not bringing forth fruit. It's because you're working according to a philosophy and tradition of man. The false religious system desires the fruit, but not the anointing. Because they don't know what the anointing is, nor do they understand the structures and functions of God's kingdom. God functions His kingdom through stewardship, not the absence of it. You can't replace stewardship of the Bible just as much as you can't replace Jesus' sacrifices with the Torah. The Torah didn't save anybody. It was the judges that delivered the people. But the Torah was there pointing to the judges, but not replacing them as much as today. The Bible doesn't replace apostles, nor does it replace Jesus, but it points to both of them. It points to necessity. We can see that the necessity of it won't cease because it's put right within the foundations of the holy city. If the apostles' calling wasn't put within the foundation of the holy city, then we can say that we don't need them today because we already have the Bible, and we have the concepts regarding these things. So we'll just continually hope on that. We'll select the scripture, John 3:16, and then we'll just go on with our daily life, hoping that God will involve Himself in us with our life somehow. Okay? Because that's not keeping His commandment. A keeping commandment requires knowledge, and that knowledge is given through stewardship. Okay, so therefore, when it comes to stewardship, it brings forth fruit. Okay, verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, it brings forth fruit as it does also in you. Now, how does Paul know that? Because Paul understands where the scale is. The scale is within the calling. Okay, the scale is within the calling, not within the dogma. I want all the false religious systems, okay, like the Hydra, the heads of the Hydra, every head of the Hydra put a scale within their own self. And written upon that scarlet-colored beast was all the names of blasphemy, which means everything which they provided was substituting the true Christ. Okay, it was a substituting that themselves for the Lamb. Okay, so it's called blasphemy. It's a complete misrepresentation and will not work eternal life, but work eternal death. Those which don't work with the grace of God are appointed to lie. Okay, God does that. God gives grace, but if the believer does not embold with that grace, the bond with Him through this grace, okay, building the kingdom of God, then they're appointed to a lie. But God will give them chances to turn from the lie, the philosophical lies of this world, the record of man, the wisdom of this world. Okay, and God will give grace for them to turn from it. But if they don't turn from it, then God will give them a lie to believe. He says, okay, if you're not going to covenant with me, then I'm going to appoint you a religion that will fit your philosophy of life. And they join a church. Okay, or one or two or three, whatever it is. Finally, they become so disillusioned, many of them leave the church. This just says, well, I tried the church and I don't see God there. Well, of course you don't see God because you're not following the record. You can't see God without the knowledge. How can you see God with a veil? Every denomination has provided a veil for you. Sure, you can't see God, but God does exist. And a lot of these people falling away from that hope, come to a conclusion there must not be a God. Okay, there must not be a God because everything in contradiction exists. And that's because the curse. Remember, the perspective of Mount Ebal is the curse. Everything they look at is ruinous. It's the perspective of man. You can't see God from the curse, but you can see Him from the blessing. You also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Now, of course, Paul knew that Epaphras was faithful because he worked with him. Faithful, which shows the consistency. A faithful minister, he was consistent in his faith. Epaphras was consistent in his faith, and therefore he came forth in leadership. See, God calls a lot of people, and few of those have been chosen, and few of those are faithful. Many of those which are called fall off the tree. Okay, that's why God is sending out the call for many apostles, okay, many prophets, many pastors and teachers, evangelists. Okay, He's calling out for them. Okay, and everyone feels they have a call upon their life. But now the responsibility for that is that you ripen and stay on a tree. Stay joined to the vine. Okay, don't fall from the tree, but mature on it. And the Lord allows your struggles. He allows your struggles. He allowed Israel's struggles. He allowed Moses' struggles. He allowed himself the struggles. When Jesus was down here, though he was in a form of weakness, which was your struggle, yet he lived by the power of God. And we do the same thing. Okay, God doesn't judge us what we are. He judges for our choices. Okay, he doesn't judge us what we are. Okay, not your race, the culture that you're in, the nation that you're in. God doesn't base judgment upon the flesh. He bases a judgment upon the choice. He gives you grace, but if we choose not grace, then it's a seal of destruction. But Epaphras here chose grace. He stood on Mount Gerizim, okay, a fellow servant who was for you a faithful minister of Christ, this new covenant, who also declared unto us, which is a stewardship, your love of the Spirit. Okay, your love of the Spirit, which has to do with your charity of the Spirit, that anointing and that power that affects your faith, that affects you. Paul says, he can see its sanctification, the manifestation of this. Same thing we can do. We know those who hear the Spirit. We also know those that resist it. Those which hear the Spirit will affirm those things which the Spirit has given. That which the Spirit has provided for us is for a reflection. And when we reflect upon that, there's fellowship. Okay, but if that which we receive isn't reflected in that manner of charity, then it's absent the fellowship and your well dries up. Okay, so the more you sow, the more you grow. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. See the word pray there. Okay, so now we see two types. Here we see in verse 3, praying always for you. We see here also pray for you. We also see that when your prayer for us. Okay, so the prayer for us is that God will continue to be fruitful in this ministry. We continue in prayer here, which is and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. Now we see this in chapter 4, verse 3, with all praying also for us. Cite the word praying there. Now this is chapter 4, verse 3. Also praying for us. Why? That God would open a door of utterance, which you're receiving right now. The door of utterance has to do with that the gifts. Okay, the gifts, the utterances, which are manifested, will continue to birth faith within you, that you continue reflecting on these things, will prevail. By reflecting on these things, you overcome. So with all praying also for us, that's the stewardship. God would open us an abundant entrance and access to these treasures of his throne, which we're speaking of right now, to speak the mystery of Christ. The mystery, see, the mystery is that which is concealed. Okay, but now, by your prayers for us, God is opening. When I was reading my Bible a couple of days ago, okay, I read it every day, but I was there studying the scriptures there. Okay, I counted about over 40 times that anointing dew. The anointing dew was falling quite actively. Okay, I was going through some scriptures, and okay, it was hitting my left arm particularly. And every time it hit, I had to stop for a second, think. Then I started counting, mentally counting this as I was studying, and I said, "That's the most that's ever happened." They at one sitting. Okay, as I was reading, I just kept feeling these drops of water or the dew. Okay, the dew of anointing was hitting the arm or the hand, the arm and the hand, which has to do with the hand of the Lord. Because we see the stewardship is as the hand of the Lord. And as the hand of the Lord, okay, we can see that I'm watering your understanding. Okay, that's what the dew is. Okay, as the dew of heaven is for the watering of this knowledge. Okay, so utterance. So you can see the responsibility on your part. If you want more of these mysteries to be disclosed to you, the mysteries of his throne, your responsibility is to pray for the stewardship, as also through my prayers and reciprocation of God for on your behalf, is for your refuge and for your increase, which we can see that we are now bonding together. Now, many pastors in a false religious system desire their congregation to pray, okay, but they don't understand the value of it. That's why they're so lazy. Okay, they don't understand the value of it. The only thing they pray for is when they pray over their food. Okay, that's about as far as their prayer goes, if not a little further before they go to sleep. When they say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And that's not the prayer of bonding. The prayer centers upon their own, their own self-preservation. Okay, not the bonding. Okay, from the food to sleep to the next day. The cycle is oneself. Okay. And so the pastor was trying to, they're trying to find breakthroughs. And that's why they use the term breakthrough. They're trying to be, bring the congregation beyond their present position. But you can't, because they don't understand the unity, that is the unity of this anointing. Okay. The fire continues to the cycle. Okay. The unity of the anointing, the fire continues to the cycle. So your prayers for me are benefited, because not only do I feel your prayers, but I also pray for you. Okay, as I pray in the spirit. Okay, I also pray for you, so that the bonding, okay, of this anointing profits your faith, and that you will partake, okay, of his fullness, and you not fall short of the glory of God. The false religious system has fallen short of the glory of God, which means the due process of it is stopped. Okay, it stopped the Mount Ebal. They never went beyond that. The altar there on Mount Ebal was to bring them to Mount Gerizim. It's the point of that. That's why those on Mount Gerizim shouted to them, "This is the hill of the blessing. Come over here. This is a hill of blessing." But they on the hill of the cursing shouted all the curses. Okay, and so it's the same thing today. The defiled conscience shouts the curse. The purged conscience shouts the blessing. And this is what we're announcing today. We're making known to the church and to the world, and regarding this period of time, the second, eighth week, come over to this hill. We have the ark, and inside the ark, okay, we have the rod, Aaron's rod that budded. We have the pot of manna, that which is the work of the Spirit. Okay, everything here has to do with the government through the Spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. The gifts and the callings and graces of God are all joined to the ark of Jesus Christ. Okay, being joined to him, you're functioning with the stewardship and the priesthood. And the Gentiles will hear this. And Gentiles are hearing this. Okay, so we talked about praying there in verse 9. Okay, for this cause we also, since the day that we, the stewardship, heard it, do not cease to pray for you. We do the same thing. And desire, this is the same thing I pray, that you might be filled in the knowledge of his will, that by being instructed, you would keep these things in mind. And by keeping these things in mind, you're loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, your neighbor as yourself. Okay, when we talk about neighbor, we're talking about those which are in covenant. Okay? Those which are in covenant, you can love them as yourself. Those outside the covenant will deny you. Deny you the power. They deny the bonding power. We which are in covenant are your neighbor, okay, which we share this bonding power to love God with all of our heart, our faith, okay, all of our soul, the will to serve, all of our might, the proper sacrifices. And they, all these tokens, all this knowledge, they, with all your mind, which is study doctrine. Okay, this is what you're doing. And this is what all the law and the prophets hang on. That this is your scale and balance. Okay, the scale and balance is that you're loving God and your neighbor. That your cycle doesn't end just at one side of the scale, but on the other side of the scale. That means there's perfect equity. The grace of God brings perfect equity. Okay, so there's no over-focus on anything. There's no over-focus. The grace of God brings perfect equity because it comes from our Father. So when God created the heavens and the earth, and he looked upon them and said, and he saw that it was good. Okay, it bore perfect equity. That which has been planted will be fruitful and come into its fullness. Of course, we see that the new heavens, new earth is the fullness of that. Okay, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. That the soul also be enlarged to contain more. The soul was designed by God because it is God. Okay, God gave a spirit from his spirit for the purpose of his expansion existence. The animal kingdom doesn't possess that. The animal kingdom is restricted to only their signature, and they find pleasure only in themselves. Okay, that's what you see. An animal finds pleasure only in itself. It finds pleasure only in the pursuit of its own signature. Okay, but Adamites have God's breath within them to pursue that which is greater than themselves. So in order to pursue that which is greater than ourselves, we invent things for our comfort and to expand beyond our present experience, to experience that which is outside of, you see, the neighborhood of our own signature. Okay, we want to explore the depths of the ocean. We want to explore the depths of histories. Okay, dig in the earth. We want to explore the depths of space. We want to improve everything. That's the power of God and the signature, but not for salvation. That's the power of God and the signature in man. Okay, which again shows, that reflection of his likeness, the God code and the likeness. Okay, be filled with all the knowledge of his will. I like the word will there. I like the word knowledge and I like the word will there. Okay, will, which has to do with that which is covenant faith. Okay, the knowledge of will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we see the grace of God there. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This is where the power of God is. Okay, the knowledge of his will. Okay, the volume of the power of Christ and that which is, and the effects of it. It must be properly directed. And it also must take proper order in order for it to mature. Just like a seed. A seed has to go through a proper procedure in order for you to profit from it. As long as the seed remains in the bag, okay, it doesn't profit you. But if the seed is put within the soil, okay, at the proper time, at the proper season, with the proper moisture and a sunlight, it will mature. And that's the way it is with the kingdom of God. So God set that parable within the environment. He set the parable within all these, you see, these events and seasons to teach us these things. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. See the word worthy? I mean, you're competent to receive of him. You're being competent. You're as a fertile soil. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. There's an activity, a progression. Being competent of him is prophetic path. This is what the Spirit desires for you. This is God's will for you, see? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Got the word pleasing there. Worthy, pleasing, will. You see how these work together? Okay, that the grace of God qualifies you to meet God's expectation perfectly. The power of God qualifies you. The grace of God qualifies you. All you have to do is walk by faith. Reflect, rehearse, reciprocate. Okay, reflect, rehearse, reciprocate. And this is where you increase. See that verse 10 there. So first, highlight the word will in verse 9, highlight the word worthy in verse 10, and the word pleasing in verse 10. Connect those three because we're talking about the power of effect. The power of effect, that the Spirit of the Lord affects you. Everything in this world has an effect upon you. Okay, your soul is like a vacuum cleaner. Okay, your soul is just like that. Everything you hear, everything you see, okay, everything you your taste, everything that you're exposed to, is put right within a soul, and then it has to be put, you could say, within spiritual index cards and filed accordingly. Okay, and then the Spirit of the Lord through your cycles of growth begins to filter these things out. Okay, that's your cycles of growth and your level one dreams. He begins to cycle these things out. Okay, that which is permissible, God accepts. That's concerning that which is perfect and complete will. Okay, we see how the Apostle Paul and Peter may mention these things. Okay, that which is permissible by God, he'll allow to stay for the present time to teach you something. And that which is not profitable for you, he purges it. He removes it. He removes it through that anointing, okay, through your cooperation. So we see how the apostles, okay, brought these things to the attention of the church so that they can see, why am I struggling this way? Why do I feel this way? That's because God has assigned these things for you. Okay, your soul is like a vacuum cleaner. So that which isn't, we don't want is removed. Okay, God allows certain things to stay. We see that with the children of Israel. Now he left them there in order to test to see what they would do. Okay, the Lord left them to see what he would do. Okay, that it might be that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. So I have the word fruitful there. Okay, that's the increase of your progression. You'll be fruitful what? In every good work. Okay, this is your cycles of growth. So as you're progressing, God begins to teach you. God begins to teach you new habits. Okay, new habits, new behavior. When you're an infant, certain things are allowable. When you're an adolescent, okay, same thing. But yet, as you grow and your understanding, you begin to see your restrictions. You begin to realize that restrictions are necessary. The restrictions are necessary to guide us to good choices. Okay, this is what your parents teach. Okay, your parents put restrictions there for the purpose of guiding you for good choices and not to leave you to the wiles of the devil or to snares of the imagination, because that's what they experience. The snares of the imagination took you into a direction which was, you could say, very destructive. If you remained there, it would destroy. But now becoming a covenant with God, these things are purged. Jesus is the Lord of your conscience. He's filtering these things, filing these things, addressing these things, and giving you a report card through your level one dreams. Okay, we'll finish this up here. So fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. knowledge of God, which means becoming with more awareness. So here we see, as you attend the altar of faith, blossoming in every cycle with more awareness and realization, your perception, your appreciation, and a power for a transmission to recognize him. Okay, a power to recognize him, a transmission. It's bringing you to the point of realization. It's empowerment. Okay, it's the mobility which you're experiencing is that empowerment, okay, which is bringing you beyond one restriction, putting you into another frame of mind, frame of thinking, okay, so that you can be profitable for God and his kingdom. And by doing these things, you're blessing yourself as standing on Mount Gerizim.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.